I was told a long time ago, it was a repeat from Bob Jones Sr. Bob Jones Sr. made a statement on more than one occasion that the first step to apostasy is a lack of gratitude. The Bible gives you a number of things in just the Pauline epistles alone that says to be thankful in all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Giving thanks always for all things. All through there, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. I find it not difficult to give thanks for things that I think are good things. Years ago, we had another issue that came up and went to see a doctor up north. And after all of the information came out and we had it all laid out there, the first thing that particular doctor did was, is he said, well, can we bow our heads and can we thank God that of all the people that could have what you have, he chose to give it to you. He said, I've found in my practice that the patients who are thankful even for the bad tend to get better faster and sometimes even completely recover. I don't know about you. I don't have a problem thanking him for the sunshine. But when the storm's blowing and the trees are bowed down, and it's dark outside and kind of damp and seems like the boat's full of water, I don't know about you, but for me, I have a tendency to, last thing in my mind is to say, oh, Lord, wanted to say thank you for the storm. I sure appreciate this. Now, that's just me and may not be you. And I want to try to preach to you today about something I personally need to be reminded of. You see, when we got the news we got on Friday, I actually felt almost guilty that God would grant us an answer or y'all's answer to prayer when so many other people in there were literally inches away from dying. Rolling in wheelchairs and stretchers and coughing and spitting up, just terrible stuff. And they go in with the worst of news, and we come out with almost have to try to sequester the smile. And I felt guilty because I didn't feel like we deserved that, and the other people hadn't gotten that. And I don't know how long that is, but here's what it did. It put me under conviction to say, when all this happened, did you thank me? Or did you wait to thank me after you got a little bit of good news? A little bit of good news in the far country. Man, that was good stuff. You have to forgive me. It just... It didn't take a lot. It was kind of like getting a little text from heaven. It's kind of like, you don't fit the mold. No kidding. In a good way. You're not ticking the boxes. And I'm sitting there thinking the whole time, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boy, hallelujah. Boy, glory to God. Boy, this is really good. And I got in the car and the first thing that hit me, when you got the other side of things 4 weeks ago, you're sitting in the parking lot in the parking garage. And you were given a really short span of time. And through the tears and the fears and all the other stuff, did you utter once, thank you, Lord? So I had to confess that to you. Because I'm going to preach to you. Not about us being thankful for good things, but being thankful for all things.
Amen.
If you're with me, look in your Bible, and we're going to start in John chapter number 20. I'm sure you'll have an idea pretty soon where we'll wind up. I got to tell you, it's not hard to get excited about the Lord today. I kind of... It's one thing when it's you, it's something else when it's somebody you care about. And when you see God do something like that, it's you just want to jump and shout and run around and act the fool. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm like Miss Lovelady. That dear old saint getting up 90-something years old and skinny as a rail and shaking like a leaf and coming down there with their hands up there shaking. You'd have thought you were in a Pentecostal church instead of an old Southern Baptist church. And she's singing, "I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied." And I thought, man, I look back on that now and I think, man, that old woman had it, man. That old woman had it. Living by herself, all alone. She's just grateful to be able to come down the aisleway and has buried everybody in her family. And she by herself is left alone. And I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. And I look back on that now and I'm thinking, man, satisfied with a life like that. Sad, terrible story that we're about to read about. But it's a coronation day for you and I. This is a day that when Jesus Christ has already died on Calvary's cross, would you agree? I doubt many people were saying thank you. But I can look back now at Calvary and say, Lord, thank you.
Yes, sir.
But you see, I'm the beneficiary of what He did. But I believe the Lord said, Father, not my will, but Thy be done. Thank you. Appreciate the privilege. Appreciate the honor. Thanks for putting this one on me. I sure appreciate you letting my creation crucify me. Thank you for giving them a way out. Thank you for saving them from hell. Thank you for letting me bear what they couldn't bear. Thank you for entrusting me the way you entrusted me with this great burden, this great blessing. I believe the Lord's grateful for what He was chosen to do. The apostles come running. The early morning hours, the women leading the way, the stone is taken out of the way. I just want you to notice a couple of things here, and we'll let Brother Larry take us in the throne room. The Bible says in verse number 4, they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, and they came to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Brother Larry, would you help us out, please? Ask the Lord to bless it.
Thank you, Lord, for being here this morning, for what we've heard, what you've given us from your book already, the hour before, the good singing. Realizing, Lord, in saying that it's never too late to come clean with you. It's never too late to have a fresh start. It's never too late to examine our own selves where we are. It's never too late, Lord, to thank you for the storms. I'm glad that you were on board. I'm glad that you're on board with us, Lord. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for He who guides, He who directs, He who corrects our prayers when we don't know how to pray. God, He who gives us the strength to take another step. Thank you for healing, Lord. Thank you for the miracles you work in life, as we can look at it that way, for what you're doing for us and our friends, and especially in our midst. Now give us the word, if you will, and we'll do our best to bless your holy name for it. Use your man one more time and fill him up.
Yes.
I pray you'd calm him, Lord, to the place that he'd be able to preach your word as if a blind man was looking out. God, not fearing anything, only wanting to focus on you and point you out in everything he says and does. We'll give you the glory now for what you're going to do for us. We have to ask you to help our hearts. God, we're amiss so often and sidetracked, Lord, to the left and to the right, and doing our best sometimes to stay in alignment. Might you help us to get in alignment with you this morning, please?
Amen.
Help us to hear, open our ears, Lord. Fix our heart, God, where it's amiss or off a tad. God, help us to hear. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Will you notice the absence of the words "thank you" in the passage? It's not there. It's not even implied. I'd like to say, first and foremost, that these are the most dedicated of all apostles. They've had their differences and even their differences with the Lord, but including the women, the disciples in that sense of the word, not in the sense of being preachers, these are the closest of the close that have been there. And the one by which and whom they have hung their hat on, theologically speaking, and said, this is the Messiah, he is the second coming, this is the one, or the first coming, this is the one that we're looking for. He's going to deliver us from Rome. Can I say this to you? It's noticeably absent that when they show up at the tomb, even though he told them it was going to happen, they still didn't see it because the Bible says they knew not. Didn't say intellectually they had not heard it. It said they didn't know it. There's a difference in hearing it and knowing it. Many people hear the gospel, but they don't know it until it becomes personal. Many individuals, oftentimes, we hear what God says He's going to do. But can I say this? In times of darkness, in times of being ignorant to what it is that God's doing, can I say this to you? It's kind of hard to say thank you when you don't know what you're thanking Him for. I mean, we'll get to it in a minute when we talk about death and divorce and disease and all the D's that are happening to be in there. But what I want to say to you, the first thing I want to bring to your attention is simply this. It is time to thank God even when you don't even know exactly what it is you're thanking Him for. The tomb is empty. Where do we go from here? Don't know. Who do we follow? Don't know. What's going to happen after this? Don't know. There was no promise after He rose from the dead that He was going to appear to them and meet them in the upper room and then wind up giving them their discourse and what it was, their charge, as you might have it, of what was going to happen. There was no words that were going to take place after He resurrected. Not even a promise that, hey, don't worry, I'm going to rise again, I'll come back. And further instructions are to follow. Complete darkness. They're in the morning hours. There are no street lights. There is no off and on switch. They're coming in the darkness of the hour. Can I say this? Under the cloak of darkness for a reason. They did not come in the dark because they were doing their best to try to, you know, good steward because we think the Lord's going to be resurrected. They were coming because they were in fear of their lives. If they get caught, they're going to wind up like Jesus. They're afraid. They're scared. Now, before you belittle them and make fun of them, and I have at times said things, the fact that Mary Magdalene and some of the other ones had more courage at nighttime to go out there and the other apostles are following. As a matter of fact, Mary's the one that stays there by herself. But can I say this to you? Sometimes it's hard to practice what the Bible says, that in everything give thanks. Including the unknown. How's it going to come out? Doesn't matter. Say thank you. Where are we going to go from here? Doesn't matter. Say thank you. Who's going to be the instructor? Doesn't matter. Say thank you. Well, I mean, I don't really know what I'm thanking Him for. You're thanking for the fact that you don't know what's going to happen, what's going to transpire, how it's going to transpire. But thank God for Romans 8:28 being in the Bible. For we know all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. How many things? How many things? If it's all things, then that means even the things I don't already have an answer to. I'd like to say I made a huge mistake when we found out what we did. In my mind, I already started all the tumblers. I already had it figured out. I mean, I was following what I was being told. Isn't that reasonable? I never even put in there anywhere that God might intervene, God might answer a prayer, God might do something. I mean, we're literally in the car. Can I just be up front, like just be personal with you a second? We're on the phone driving. I'm on the phone driving. She's on the phone to the funeral home. I'm like, what are you doing? She said, I'm going before you. We're making plans. I said, hey, well, slow down a second here. She goes, no, we need to go ahead and do that. I don't want you to have to worry about that. I said, I've done this before. I can handle this. Don't worry about that. But can we just wait till we get a little bit more information? Well, that's a little bit fatalistic. Maybe it might be. My point is that instead of us calling the funeral home, what we should have done is stopped a moment and said, hey, we don't know the information and where everything's going. What we need to do is say, thank God I have a God that I can pray to. Thank God I have a God that will give me answers. And that if He doesn't give me answers, He'll get me through it. And ultimately, when it's said and done, I wind up absent of the body and present with the Lord. I'm going to say I failed the test. I didn't set the example. And you say, why? Well, it's kind of hard to do. It's a great time to pray when you're in times of the unknown. You don't really know. But then I get to looking, my prayers, they just kind of sound so cheap and so selfish. I mean, it's always, it's not like, you know, well, she's the one going, but Lord, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to make my Pina J? Who's going to wash the clothes and... I'm sure he'd never been that way. Y'all are looking at me like, oh, I can't even believe you would think that. But that's how I'm saying, that's how my prayer felt. Because I was just praying selfishly minded without going, wait a minute, let's pause for just a second, thank God for the situation, and then let's shut up. Can I say this to you? Maybe you're in a situation where you don't have all the answers yet. Learning to thank God, whatever it is you're going through. Sometimes it's an empty tomb. You cannot see a way out of it. You go in there looking for something, expecting it to be there. Hey, you got married when you came down this aisle or down an aisle at another church or at a judge's office or notary or wherever it was that you got married. And you know what you said? You said, for sickness and in health, for better or for worse, until death do us part. And it's coming apart. And you did not know that when you got married. You had no intention. The tomb is empty. You planned on seeing the kids and the grandkids and they're going to graduate and everything's going to wonder. And they dropped out of school. You can't find them with a flashlight. They didn't graduate. Something derailed them. They got pregnant out of wedlock. Life changed directly. The tomb is empty. How am I going to thank Him? Now I'm in a mess. It did not turn out. I did not find in the tomb what I was looking for. My kids were going to turn out this way. My job was going to turn out this way. My family was going to turn out this way. My finances were going to turn out this way. This is how it was going to go. And the tomb is empty. You didn't find what you were looking for. It didn't come out like you had it drawn up. Amen. Who in the cat hair would go to a graveyard not expecting to see a body?
Amen.
You can't blame them. Well, they're the apostles and they should have believed. Oh, hey, I'm guilty 100 times over. They walked with Him and they talked with Him. He gave me the written word. I've seen the proof of it. I've watched Him do it. I've doubted His word. I've gone in that book and flipped through it and looked through it. And I'm trying, oh man, and the Lord says, you believe that, don't you? Tomb's empty, Lord. I mean, I know what you said. But I'm like the apostles, I have yet to know and understand some of the passages. I haven't mastered in my own life some of those passages. Some of those things that are easier to preach than they are to live. Some of those things that we look at because when we got saved, we thought, man, this is going to be it, man. Everything's going to be great. There's never going to be any more problems. And you go to the graveyard and, wait a minute, the tomb's empty. I didn't find what I thought was going to happen. I watched a lady one time who we buried her child. And she said to me as we were walking away, cold, at least for Florida. I remember I had on a tan jacket. The funeral guy was walking next to me, holding me under an umbrella. And this lady said, well, I guess I'll never see her get married. I'll never see her walk down the aisle and I'll never have grandchildren. And She literally, from the time we walked from that graveside to the car, when I got ready to get in my car, I'm standing there, the funeral guy's holding an umbrella over the two of us, and she began to list all the things that she wasn't going to sing because of the untimely death of her teenage girl. See, she drew it up. She just knew that this was going to go like it goes for everybody else. This is how it's going to be. And guess what? We're the world's worst about putting a happy ending on everything. We are always the hero in the movie that we're watching. We're the one that everybody else dies, but not us. We somehow, supernaturally, we survived. Or we're the ones that go down there and save everybody in the icy waters of the Titanic or something. I mean, you know, when you have a dream and you lose in the dream, you just go back to sleep and fix it. Right? You see, I can tell you've done that before. It's kind of like, he got me. Now I know which way he's going to get me. But I've already been healed up. I put some super glue on it. I held it in place. I'm all good to go. My name's Rambo. And then you go back in there. And before he gets you the next time, whoosh, you got him. And you know, it's kind of like, yeah, honey, what are you doing so good today? I got the bad guy this morning. But Christians get hit by bad guys too. Can you be thankful for an empty tomb? I'm not talking about how we see that empty tomb. I'm not talking about thank God for the resurrection. Thank God he's not in there. Thank God he's not like Buddha and Muhammad and all the things we sing about. What I'm talking about is, can you thank God when things don't work out how you drew them up? When you got married, you planned on being together and dying old in a rocking chair together. We did. Maybe y'all didn't. Man, that sounds boring to me. Wait till you get up around 70. You'll think that sounds like heaven to you. I mean, things that used to shine and glitter and all that, it's kind of like, give me a rocking chair. We got a little place in the back of the house there. I just go out there and sit, and I got one of them things that does this. They call it a rocker. I feel like I'm back in a crib. I'm like, I really like this. What are you doing? Nothing. You say, what is that? I'm practicing for the millennium. All y'all going to be busy. I know. You're going to be like, we got work to do. We got to work. I'm kind of like, we got all eternity, man. I got plenty of time. I'm going to be like a city job when I get up there. You know how a city job is? One's working, 10 are watching. Everybody's on the way, the scale, you know, and all, oh, I don't do that. I'm a plumber. I don't do that. I'm an electrician. I don't do that and all that. And you got one guy down there and he's working. Everybody else is kind of like, you know, you kind of got the angle off a little bit. You need to turn this way over there. They call that working. They go home. Your wife says to you, honey, you've been at work. I've been at work all day, baby. I'm wore slap out, man. He about killed me. It took him so long. It's like watching them guys over there. It's kind of like, I got to get away from here. I'm exhausted watching. Yeah. Can you thank him for an empty tomb? It's hard to do. Especially when you see other people's tombs filled. I still got enough of my old nature that just grates on me. Can I be honest? I mean, I'm like bearing my soul today. I'm telling you all kind of stuff, man. I shouldn't be doing it. Can I just be honest with you? It really grates on me to go by a charismatic church and see them have to have police in the parking lot to park everybody for that rock and roll show. I got to be honest. I know what I'm supposed to say as a pastor. Well, you know, that's not what God seemed fit for us to do. And God will bring us who He wants. And the Lord gives the ink. I know the words. But I'm kind of like, I'd like to get a semi and like block the entranceway and cause a traffic jam. And just let all that carnality just flow. But it shouldn't bother me. I should thank God for the empty pew as much as I thank God for the full pew. Because it doesn't always work out the way we want to. And you come down in that passage just a little bit. You know what happens? You find Mary there. You know what she's doing? She's squalling. Now, for those of you that aren't Southerners, squalling is not like crying. And it ain't like bawling. It's halfway between a scream and bawling and snot slinging. Yeah. Right? I know it's not very sophisticated. It's not like get your little tissue kind of deal. I mean, it is one of them snot slinging, trying to swallow it down and not spit. Are you in me? One of them kind of cries where you cry and then you can't talk because your nose is thumped up because you've been crying so much. Right? And you got this nasty taste in your mouth. And you can't, and then your eyes look like somebody punched you in both of them at one time. And they're red and they think you've been smoking tater or crack or whatever. Have no idea where that came from. It bothers me some of y'all knew right off the bat what I was talking about. Something ain't right, Deke. Sir, got to get on the job. But can I say? She's squalling. In Carolina, they say she's a squalling. She is bawling. Why? Her heart is broken. The empty tomb says to her, the one she loved about, the one she cared about, the one that meant everything to her, that she thought the sun set upon, that the sun rose upon, the one that meant the most to her was gone and she saw no way out.
Amen. Sir.
It was horrible. The despair. I was at a funeral over on Edgewood one day and I had to go over there with part of the honor guard. This is a million years ago, but I can remember seeing the casket stretched out. They're at the actual funeral home. And we're up there doing all the stuff that we're supposed to do and the guys are doing what they're doing and we're just kind of directing things and what they call posting the casket and changing every 15 minutes and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, there's a woman sitting about three rows back in chairs. They didn't have pews in there. And I mean, I didn't know, like, if she was having a fit, she'd gone crazy or what had happened, because she let out a scream like a guttural, somebody is killing me scream. It wasn't no show. And tears were flowing down her cheeks and she got up and stumbled to that casket and literally crawled up on top of that corpse in that casket. I have never witnessed something so sad and so forlorn, and how the guys are standing here and they're standing there and they're supposed to be here at parade rest, and they're, you can see they're kind of like, do I do something or do I stand here and all that stuff. And I grabbed the funeral director. I said, we got to do something, man. She's going to pull him out of the box here in a minute. And an old man, black, gray-headed, old man, about that big around. He is about half her size. He walked down there, and I don't know what he said, but he didn't yank her. Amen. He didn't snatch her. He didn't yell at her, you're making a fool of yourself. Why, you idiot. What is wrong? All these people are looking. Do you know that despair can cause you to act so bad out of character, people think you lost your marbles? Do you know that you can be so downtrodden, so discouraged, so depressed, that you will sit down under a juniper tree and say, hey, it is enough, Lord, let me die. I can't take it anymore. Leave me alone. Let me go. Preacher, that shouldn't happen to a Christian. They've been walking with Jesus. Oh, the tears of the saints. That old man cozied up there. I don't know. I got ready to come walk down there. That's a pretty good sized fellow back in those days. I think, well, I can probably assist her gently out of the box there and being respectful, but I felt like I could, like, do it with a kind of at least a little bit of commotion. But if you ever tried to deal with somebody who is under that much distress, do you know how much strength and ability and stress can bring to someone? But more than that, distress. They're supernatural. They're in another world. They have abandoned all hope. Life for them as they know it ceases to exist except in the moment. They are done. Better be careful how you approach somebody like that. Well, I got ready to go. They opened up the doors and I started to take a step. That old man, I wish today, he's dead now. I'm positive of it. He reached out there. He said, "Sir, give me a minute. I'll take care of this." And my first appearance was, I'm looking at physical thing, physical attributes. He's a little bitty fella, and he's about as old as I am now. I'm thinking, there ain't no way, old man. That woman's going to turn you every which way but loose. Oh, but with a kind word and the sweetness of a gentle touch, he went down there, and you would have thought he was handling a newborn baby. He put his arm around her. All I can remember hearing him say is, "Sugar, it's going to be okay now." And after that, I couldn't hear what all, but directly she loosened the grip off of that man in the casket. The love of her life, the one that whom she loved and cared about and could not imagine going on without him, she gradually began to turn loose. And I remember as she began to pull away, she just patted him and she touched the old man for just a second and he backed off and she leaned down and kissed that old man in the corpse and said, I love you. I sure am going to miss you. Went and sat back down and never whimpered another word. Oh, but can I tell you this? It's hard to say thank you in times of deep despair. I was with an old preacher in Carolina one time. He had never made mention of it. Never said a word. We were walking through a graveyard, of all places. We got to a particular place. I said, "It's a pretty spot right here." I said, "Reckon who that is planted there?" He said, "That's my daughter." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, that's my firstborn." He said, "We planted her in Carolina." He said, "We planted her not long after we'd been married." He said, "I come up here and visit her every now and then." A little tear began to well up. You know how they, in the South, we call it puddling up. It could be a puddle, just kind of a gentle thing. He said, "But God sure is good. I can't imagine." You ever pause to thank God? It's not to put a guilt trip on you. To thank God for the despair in your life. Amen. When things don't work out like you drew them up, the tomb is empty, and the heart breaks like an egg under a giant's heel, and you're just crushed. I say this to the kids all the time. I haven't changed it. As long as they still have me, I'm going to still do it. But I'm going to say this. I say this to the kids. It may be puppy love, but it's real to the puppy. Puppies can get heartbroken too, just like old dogs. Old dogs kind of become like them puppies. Old dogs learn to love things because they are blind in one eye and can't see out of the other.
Yes. Amen.
They're about half deaf. "Preacher, did you see?" "Nah, no. I didn't see that." "Preacher, did you hear?" "Nah. Didn't quite hear that." You say, "What is that?" That's an old dog who's been through some despair. Been through some trouble. He don't hear everything. He kind of looks at the big picture. He don't see everything. He ain't looking for that. He's looking for Him. You come down through that passage there, you happen up on a fellow by the name of Thomas. I relate to Thomas. You know why? You know how you know Thomas? You know him as what? Doubting Thomas. You do know that Thomas in John chapter 11, when the Lord said, "We're going to have to go back there, but if we go back, we might wind up getting killed." You do know what Thomas said, don't you? Yeah. Well, if we got to die, we got to die. Let's go. That's in that part of John 11. Got an answer to your question. Not in John chapter 11 that people don't talk about. That's doubting Thomas, who had the faith to say, okay, well, if we got to go and die, let's go and die. No matter. We need to head back. He had a sense of purpose. Where was he when he should have been there Sunday night? I don't know. I haven't always been where I was supposed to be. I might actually be there in the physical sense of the word, but can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? Don't worry, I'm not getting more notes. I'm still preaching off the first page. Can I say this to you? I've been like Thomas. And Thomas wasn't there, and he should have been. You know what's good, though? 8 days later, the Lord still showed up in spite of the fact that Thomas wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Amen.
You know what I know? On more than one occasion where I ain't been where I'm supposed to be, God still has showed up when I got back where I was supposed to be.
Amen.
He didn't go out of the pig pen and get Thomas. He waited till the next time they was meeting. And Thomas was there, and the Lord said, thank the Lord, hallelujah, look who's at church today. He didn't say hey to the other 11. Ne'er one of the women. Not one of the women. Not a single one. He's like, Thomas? Man. Shoo-wee, Lord. My Lord and my God. Hey, Thomas! Didn't you say you wanted to put your fingers in the nail prints? Didn't you say you wanted to put your hand in my side? Lord, lesson learned. You ever thank God that in spite of doubting, in spite of not being who and what you should have been, to ever thank God that He still gave you a way back in spite of that?
Yes, sir.
Hey. Sir. I'm so glad I have a forgiven God.
Amen.
I'm so glad I have an understanding God.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I don't have a fair weather friend God.
Yes,
I'm so glad I got one that's my friend in the shadows and in the shade as much as in the sunlight. I'm so glad that in spite of my feeble and frail infirmities, I'm so grateful that in spite of me being who I am and doubting what He's doing, that He still says, hey, David,
pray.
Lord, my Lord, my God.
Amen.
I have no business even being here. Hey, boy, come here. Let me give you a little reassurance.
Yeah.
Come on, touch me. He didn't tell the rest of them to touch him. His doubt led to a touch.
Amen.
He didn't tell the rest of them, come touch me, boy. Put your hands right here. Hey, appreciate your boldness. Appreciate your doubt. Come on in here. Let's go ahead and seal this thing. Hey, blessed are you that have seen, and blessed more so those that have not seen. Hey, come touch me.
Amen.
Oh, man, I want to be a relationship with the Lord that He says, that guy, he touches me. I'm glad that I don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. So far above me that I can't grasp Him. So grateful He condescended to men of low estate. So grateful knowing that I am a sinner and I'm saved, but I am still a sinner. And He still says, come touch me.
Amen.
Oh, I want my prayers to touch Him. I just got this the other day. Now I was looking at that passage. I'm thinking Thomas got his prayers answered. Whoever preaches on that? Didn't he?
Yep.
I'll not believe unless I put my fingers in the nail prints and put my hand in his side. Lord said, I got you.
Yeah.
He answers exactly how he prayed. Didn't you say fingers, hand? There you go. Man, talk about making God real. Can you pardon me for being loud? I'm just like, I'm a little stirred up. But you know what's absent in the passage? Thomas saying, I'm sorry I doubted, but thank God I doubted. Because I'd have never got to know you this way had it not been for me being human. Have you ever doubted God? Ever thank God for the doubt? He said in everything. Well, preacher, we shouldn't doubt. Well, you bulwark of faith, come on up here. We'll make an image of you and we'll worship you as the fourth part of the Trinity. I have to fight doubt every day. I may not doubt what you doubt, but I still have doubts. Lord, I doubt you're going to want to do this, but you think of the woman with the issue of blood. 12 long years. Went to bed with it. Woke up with it. An outcast from everybody. People that didn't even know her. They knew her by what they knew of her. Dirty, filthy, she's got some kind of sin because she got some kind of disease. She was known by her disease. That's why when the Holy Spirit has that pinned in the Bible, He has it pinned with no name on there, because she was not known by who she was, by her birth parents or by her grandparents or by any other person. She was known in that community by her disease. Nobody knew her outside of that's the woman that's got issues. What a life-changing thing. I believe she's there with the triumphal entry. I think she's one of the ones throwing her coat down. I think she might have married the widow of Nain's son when he got resurrected. How do you know that? I don't. It makes a great story. They saw each other. She starts talking. He's like, let me know when you're done. I can top that. And look, she had issues. She still has a couple, but she's got issues. I get all that, but I got raised from the dead. What a match made in heaven. I don't know if they're there, but I know the people that are there are ones that God did something for. I think she's right there. You know what I think she's doing? I think she's saying, Lord, I want to thank you. But I don't think she's thanking Him for the cure. I think that she's thanking Him for the disease. Everybody would thank Him for the cure. Who in their right mind would thank Him for the disease? But if you read your Bible, you go, whoa, wait a minute. She might not have met Him had it not been for that disease. I think about the lepers in Luke 17. You got 10 there. 9 of them leave. 1 of them comes back. You know what the Lord says? Ask you a question. Lord, I ain't been to Bible school. I don't know any of that stuff. I've been hanging out with a bunch of Gentiles and I'm a Samaritan. So I'm not even one of the chosen. Might be a frozen chosen, but I'm not even a chosen. And the Lord said, but you can answer this question. Hadn't you been hanging out with the other 9? Yes, sir. Where are they at? Where are they? I don't know. Why, Lord? Well, I was just wondering, where are the 9 that returned to give glory to me? Now you got to pause and think a minute, especially if you're visitors. You got to think a minute. You read that passage in Luke 17. And in that passage, you know what you don't find? You never find a place where that leper says to the Lord, glory to God. He said, "Where are the nine that returned to give glory to God?" You know what that leper said? He said, "Thank you."
Amen.
I don't believe he's thanking him for the cure. I think he's thanking him for the disease. I think he knows in his mind, if I hadn't have been over there with them lepers, an outcast, away from everything and everybody, I'd have never cried out to God. I'd have been self-sustaining and self-sufficient. I would have never even been looking for Him. I'd have been relying on myself and taking care of things on my own. I'd have been doing all that kind. I would have never even been looking for Him. I think He returned. You say, why? I think that's what brings glory to God.
Yeah.
I think what brings glory to God is not the fact that, oh, Lord, I want to thank you for healing my disease. Well, guess what? He's still going to die. Right? The woman with the issue, she's healed. She's still going to die. Blind Bartimaeus has got his eyeballs. He's still going to die. Can I say to you, everybody in there that's grateful, if you pause, they're still going to die. So what are they thankful for? Lord, you know what? If it hadn't been for this storm in my life, if it hadn't been for this mess in my life, if it hadn't been for this divorce, this sickness, this disease, this trouble, this discombobulation, this discord, if it had not been for this, God, I would not know you like I know you.
Amen.
It would have never happened that way.
Amen.
Our problem is, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a propensity to thank God only when the tomb is like it should be, when the despair is understandable, when the disease has been cured. Hey, could we pause and thank Him today for all things?
Yes.
He's been a good God.
Yes.
Even in spite of the trouble.
Yes.
The discombobulation. The heartache. The heartbreak. I got about eight of them. But let it suffice to say this. I've been guilty of only thanking Him when it works out like I... Oh, you know, we sat down the other day after we got that little bit of news, and I ordered one of these little steak things. Oh, it was cooked. Like, I mean, it was just right. And for some reason, it just had a better taste to it. It could have been shoe leather for all I know. You might have tasted it and been like, oh man, this is terrible, man. Brother Brian might have gone over there and go, that ain't medium rare, man. That ain't great. I mean, I'm just telling you, oh man, it was good. I had no problem with going, baby, wait. Thank God. Let's thank God for our meal. Let's thank God for what He just told us. Let's thank, oh, I had no problem with that. My problem was 4 weeks before that. Not knowing the outcome, not knowing where it was going to go. My problem was not thanking Him before it got good.
Yes.
Yes.
I know we're still going to go home. I know, I understand. But a little reprieve from the executioners, kind of, woo! Man, what great news. How wonderful our God is to allow trouble in our life. Can I say, the Apostle Paul is not thanking God for the jailbreak. He's thanking God, I'm in jail for God to break into.
Amen. Amen.
Ain't this a blessing, Silas? Preacher, you've lost your mind. You're getting old now. That whip done touched your brain. Something is wrong with you. Man, I feel like singing the doxology. Preacher, we are in prison by Rome. No, we're not. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm in the perfect will of God. This is great. I like being bound and woo! I'm thinking about them boys over there in Daniel chapter 3. Hey, aren't you glad they don't have a fiery furnace? Silas said, oh, yeah, I'm glad we don't have that. You'd be jumping in it. He says, man, let's sing. Do you realize that? You just heard a song up here sung. I like the one you used to sing, with all due respect. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the and I know He watches. I'm bigger than a sparrow.
Yeah.
I'm a peacock. I'm prettier than a sparrow. I'm a peacock. If He cares and He knows when a little sparrow falls out of the air and hits the ground and an animal gets him, if He knows when that happens, He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows my down sitting. He knows my uprising. He cares about me. Oh, I'm so glad He's not a fair weather friend. I'm so glad that when those things occur in my life, I have got to learn. I'm at another place in my Christian, I don't want to say level, like I'm growing. I am growing around the middle, but listen, I'm at another place. I'm like, Lord, I got so much to learn. I feel like a juvenile delinquent. Do y'all know what that is? There's a new name for them now, I'm sure. Whatever they call them now, God only knows. Misfit children or something. Children that need help. I don't know. We don't call them idiot imbeciles anymore. You can't call them a delinquent. That'll give them like a, you know, an image and they'll grow into it or whatever. I start looking at these things and I'm like, how did I miss that?
Amen.
I've been saved 63 years or so. How did I miss that? Man, Lord, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
This is so much more important than the date of the rapture. It's like, this helps me understand life.
Yes, amen.
Yes, sir.
This helps me get it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
When a date don't help me.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man, but it comforts me in the wee morning and the hours.
Amen.
The clock's ticking by and I'm, you ever done this? Oh, this is rhetorical. You ever done this? I'm almost done. He famously said for the third time, you ever done this? You ever lay there in the middle of the night going through something bad or difficult and you look up at the Lord and say, Lord, why? Mm-hmm. Yep. You ever done that? I've done that. It's okay. It's not a sin.
Yeah.
I know we should be like, Lord, I get it. No problem. Sometimes He does things. Got no answer.
Amen.
Can't tell you. Now what I'm beginning to realize is, maybe the Lord's desiring for me to pursue Him and to trust Him with something that I don't understand. Maybe it's called a walk by
faith. There you go.
So easy to trust Him in calm seas.
Yes, sir.
And worry about the boat and how wide the beam is when I'm out there and it's like glass. It kicks up 3 or 4 feet, 8 or 10 feet, and all of a sudden the lightning's popping. And Lord's God, I got this. You know I got it, right? You trust the boat, don't you? If it's tied to the pier. Lord, I don't get this.
Come on, preacher.
When I left the jetties,
right,
the report was clear skies, smooth sailing. When I left the jetties, the report was clear skies, smooth sailing. Lord, I ain't been out here fishing 3 hours. And there is a storm. I think I'm going to drown. Ain't it great? You know what He says to them boys? You heard them sing about it. Two boys and a girl, two slabs and a slice up here singing this morning. You know what they sang, He sang about? He said, the Lord said to him, where's your faith? I'm in the boat with you. What are you panicking about? Don't you know I got something you can't even in your wildest imagination see or understand? Hey man, just ride out the storm. I'm going to show you great, mighty, wonderful, marvelous thing. Just be patient. Enjoy the storm. So many of us miss the blessings of the storm because we refuse to relax in the midst of the storm. and let God do what He needs to do. He says, where's your faith? What's the problem? I got this. You trust me, don't you? Well, yeah, Lord, when we're tied up to the pier. This blind faith thing, Lord, almost done. Watch when I land the plane now. You ready? What gives glory to God? When you thank Him for the good report? I know we should. But everybody does that. How many true believers say, not my will, but thine be done? How many true believers say, Lord, thank you for the storm. Thank you for the trouble. Thank you for the hospital bed I'm facing. Thank you for, you can fill in the blank. And the Lord says, where's the rest of them? I did the same thing for them. I've lived long enough to know it ain't put on. I don't know what it's like to have your head in a medicine bottle to be able to just work every day. Have a doctor keep saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. I don't know what that is. I'm not telling you what to do, but it would be great. And I would thank God with you because I've been praying for you and praying with you. I've definitely been praying for your wife. Really, because there's a caregiver thing, right? And I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. But do you ever think that there's things He knows about God laying on an operating table that we don't know? You went through a like NDE, near-death experience. Ain't nobody around here knew, hardly. Miss Sandy told a few. We was all praying. But I can guarantee you when you went through that, God was there with you and you learned things about God and about yourself. I probably don't know those things. Yes, sir. You say, why? Those things are good things. And the biblical requirement for us is out of a grateful heart. We say, Lord, of all the people that you could let this happen to, thank you for picking me. Man, really, Lord? I appreciate this. Thank you. Help me to suck it up. Help me to do what I need